Mouse number 75, a Disney podcast that provides just the right amount of syntactic sugar to the programming languages of the Walt Disney Company. My name is Henry Work, and I will be your host this morning of Magic and Merriment. If you would like to show the show some love, go check out our sponsor, my employer, touringplans.com. As Nate Parrish would say, they have the best estimated wait times in the business. Hey, Nate Parrish is never wrong. Touringplans.com, Disneyland, or Disney World, we will take care of it. Joining us this morning is Scott Barrett, founder of DizCollect.com, fellow developer for TouringPlays.com, and all-around family man. What's up, Scott?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm all-around family man. I like that. How are you?
I don't know. Are you? Is that an apt description?
It's a very apt description.
All right, cool. Jeff Chaney, an IT professional, welcoming him back to the Betamouse panel, despite the fact that he hasn't been absent. How's it going, Jeff?
Good. How are you, Henry?
Yeah, sometimes my script doesn't make much sense. Hanging in there, year end, plowing through.
Was called an idiot. That's always fun.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Jeff.
You know, honestly,
sometimes I just lash out.
Yeah, it really hurts that it was from you. You don't even live in my state, you know. That's rough, but that's okay.
Hang in
that's
there,
okay.
Dude.
I'm working there. Through it.
Virtual pats on the back for you, sir.
Oh no, I don't need that. I'm good.
And Katie Silowak Latosky, owner of the DVClife.com and manager for blog.touringplans.com. Katie, how goes?
It's going great, Henry. How are you?
What was that?
I have no idea.
I heard that too. I was hoping you did.
That was a gremlin in the inner tubes. Sorry about that, Beta Mouse. But we'll just keep going.
I don't have to edit this
one
out.
All right?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for the show.
Me too. And Nate Parrish, the man himself, a once and hopefully future cast member at Walt Disney World and co-host of the Woodway Radio podcast. How's it going, Nate?
Pretty good. How did you know that? Once in future.
Well, I mean, I assume that when you retired, you're going to go join the ticket turd style team.
Pretty sure about that.
That's what my dad wants to do. You know, once his employment is over, just go hang out. You know, in the front of Walt Disney World, let people in.
That's me. Yep.
Anything but the parking department. That's rough. Because you see those like 75-year-old guys out there, like in Orlando.
Yeah,
yellow's
not my color. So yeah,
is it hot?
Uh huh.
Yellow is not your color. Nice.
That's not.
Today we put on our corporate development hats and talk a little M&A that we would do if the Disney company put us in charge of who to buy in the tech world. In the past few years, Disney has been active in the M&A space. This year they purchased two tech-related companies so far, Rocket Pack, a Finnish game development studio, and Togetherville, the safe social network for kids that we talked about in episode 56. In 2010, they acquired Playdom, a major social gaming company, and Tapulous, one of the leading iOS gaming companies. And in 2009, they acquired another gaming studio called Wide Load Games, as well as Caboose, an online marketing services company focused towards kids, and Kerpoof Studios, which actually launched for TechCrunch 40 in 2007, another kid-focused entertainment site. And of course, they acquired the online virtual world Club Penguin in 2007, and of course you can mention Pixar and Marvel and all these other big acquisitions. So Disney does acquire things. You know, they've always been known for being especially during the Iser years, of trying to build things internally, but they're pretty active in terms of the M&A space. So we thought it'd be fun to go around and talk about possible things that they should get into, either areas or apps or big tech companies or whatever, that they should go out and buy, bring in the company, and use to build awesome stuff under the Disney brand. So, Scott, let's start with you.
All right. So this is one company I found. So many of you know I'm a pretty hardcore gamer. And there's one company I found that I really like. They're out of Boston. They're called Brass Monkey. And they have a patent pending on
that
some pretty
funky
cool...
monkey.
Exactly. They have a patent pending on some pretty interesting technology. And what it is it uses your mobile device. It turns it into a controller for a game or an entertainment experience on another device. For example, the really cool game that I tried that they had is the Star Wars Trench Run 2.0. So basically you install the Star Wars Trench Run game on my Mac, And then I install the controller software on my iPhone. And so I play the game using my iPhone instead of a mouse and keyboard and all that kind of stuff, which makes it very interesting because to me, this could be used not only for home entertainment, but in park entertainment. You know, they could come up with interesting control devices using this type of technology to interface with inline cue games. You know, you whip out your iPhone, boot up the controller, and just start playing. Something like that. I don't know. I think it's a pretty cool piece of technology that they might get a patent on.
Let me ask you this. When you did this, did you have to break any agreements to install this on your iPhone?
No, not at all.
Okay, so you just download it.
So, and absolutely, it uses Wi-Fi, and they have come up with a framework where the game right now, all their examples are games. So the game runs as a server, and it listens for commands coming in from a client. So your phone becomes that client, and over Wi-Fi, they talk to each other. And so as you use the phone for the controller, it's constantly sending back commands to the server process running on the game, and it updates the game appropriately. So there's no hacking, no nothing at all.
Okay, I know there's a racing game. I think that uses your iPad and your iPhone, where your iPhone is like your steering wheel, and then your iPad is like the screen. So it's almost like you're, you know, sitting in something using your iPad to steer. So yes. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Absolutely.
It's pretty interesting. We should talk about this, but Rocket Pack, which is the thing that they this Finnish game, it's not really a game studio, I think that it's wrong, it's sort of a startup, built this thing that's sort of up that alley. It's kind of different, but maybe we should talk about that in the future episode. I'll leave that as a teaser.
Yep.
All right, good stuff. Jeff, you're up.
Work with me on this. I want to see him acquire GroupMe. And
GroupMe.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I used GroupMe extensively, and really the only time I used it was when I was on my Disney trip. And I could really see them integrating this into not only share with people as a tool to use on their vacations, but also to help provide answers to questions as well. When you created a GroupMe account through Disney for your trip, you could include all the people that are going on your trip that you want to be able to message with. But they could also monitor that. And if you sent a message to the GroupMe with some kind of tag or modifier on it of, I don't know how to get from here to, you know, I don't know how to get from Walt Disney World, Magic Kingdom to the Hoop-Dee-Doo review, that it could answer back in a text message.
Nice.
I would think that they could do that fairly easily, even with just a robot, basically, because a lot of the questions are going to be that type of stuff. And they could also use it to push out some of this stuff that they've been talking about. We've talked in the past about that, offering special deals for areas to try to get people to migrate to that area in the park. They could use this feature to send out a text message to the different groups that they created. So that's my thought. I used it a lot. Got a lot of my quote-unquote Disney friends that were down in the area. They could kind of see where I was at, what I was doing. I could contact some of the other families that we were kind of hanging out with easily. Mm-hmm. It was really, really a nice feature. And I think that they could roll that into a tool for people, you know, down there at the Magic Kingdom. It's a big place. And being able to keep in touch easily would be nice.
No, I think that's brilliant. I mean, and what's also nice is that there's like 30 GroupMe clones out there. So you're bound to find one that is decent. And that would be a lot cheaper than GroupMe. Cool. Has anyone else used GroupMe yet on a trip?
Not on a trip.
Use WhatsApp a ton for the same purpose. Group chat.
Group mobile chat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think that's good stuff. All right, Katie, you're up.
Wow, you guys, these are good ideas. So I kind of feel...
are way worse than them.
So I kind of got this idea about the app Square, if you guys have heard of it, but it's basically using your phone as like mobile payment. So I had the idea that if you're walking around anywhere in Disney, instead of waiting in these lines or purchasing things, you should just be able to go to any cast member and mobile pay using your phone. Like easy checkout, almost like you're in an Apple store, you know, and you're just checking out and they have iPod touches and they're processing everything. So I don't know. Guess it wasn't as innovative, but I thought it'd be super easy to use.
Well, no, I mean, like, that's definitely a technology that Disney should, you know, go towards, whether it's like NFC, near field communication, or a square type thing, or even RFID kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you could just bring around a card or a bracelet or whatever. We've talked a lot about that, those implications on our next gen episodes, and it's really interesting to know like where that's going to end up. I think Square is too expensive for Disney at this point. Plus, like, Square is going after something way beyond the Disney spectrum. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's getting pretty huge. I think it's probably one of the cooler startups, apps, things that have come out of the smartphone market. I mean, literally, you can just pay with your credit card to somebody who has a little slider thing, you know? Or you don't even need that. I think it's like a PayPal. It's just an app, and you give them your information. I don't know that exactly, but... they take the fee like PayPal, but I don't know. It's just genius. Like, how many times are you in Disney and you have like the dinners? You could split it that way. I don't know. It's just so many things you could do with that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Nate, you're up.
Okay. So, this is a pretty big company, but I love what they do. Exactly. So, I would love it if Disney would acquire Wet. Which is
nice. Okay.
Water Entertainment Technology, which is they design water features, and it was actually started by a former Imagineer. His name's Mark Fuller, and the two major things he designed at Disney was the Fountain of Nations and the Laminar Flow Leapfrog Fountains at the Imagination Pavilion.
Leapfrog Fountains.
That's right. So he actually designed a flow nozzle that features the laminar flow. He's like the guy behind that, and he is the CEO of Wet, and they have designed every major fountain in the world. They've designed like the Dubai Fountain, the Lincoln Center Fountain, fountains all around. The Bellagio Fountain, the fountain at Disney Village Marketplace, everywhere. I mean, they've designed all of these fountains, and I know they would probably never acquire them just because so many of their, you know, they're a big company and a lot of their competitors use them. And so they probably wouldn't ever come to an agreement, but it would just be awesome if they could have that type of technology in house so that when they do decide to replace something like Illuminations down the road, that they have this cool technology that they already own and they can create like the massive monster World of Color that can be seen from all sides of World Showcase Lagoon instead of just one area. So anyway, that's what I would like.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other issue is just, what did you think of World of Color? I mean, they did that without Wet. Probably one of the, if not the most technologically advanced water shows out there, right?
If you take that off, I think Wet's just designing huge, bigger and bigger and bigger things nowadays. I mean, the Dubai Fountain has like 24 different like shows that it does. I mean, it's just amazing. They do design some smaller things, but you know, for a company that large, I mean, they have you know, like 100 employees at their design firm in Los Angeles. But if they could somehow come up with something, I know World of Color is really awesome, but it's really nothing compared to these other things around the world. Go on YouTube and search Dubai fountains. It's just awesome. Or go to their website, go to the Wet website, just wetdesign.com, I believe. And you can look at some of their samples. It's just amazing.
Sweet. Okay. So my one is like, we talked a lot about Disney as a platform, meaning like, you know, Disney's done the same thing it's always done in terms of you know, trying to lure people to come go to their theme parks. My big argument is that Disney needs to move upstream, meaning they need to get closer to where people search for any travel destination, where people book travel online. And so what I would think, I've got a bunch of companies just sort of in mind, but I'll just pick one for now. So I'll pick the simpler one, which is, so I think they should buy a travel search site like Hipmunk. Hipmunk is still pretty small right now, and you know, it probably wouldn't work for a variety of reasons, but basically what it is it's, you can go onto Hipmunk and, you know, you can search for flights or you can search for hotels. And the idea here is that overall, you know, if Disney wants to be like position themselves as, you know, not only continue to be the leading travel destinations of the world, but potentially increase their travel business, like Disney World is not going to double in business in the next 10 years or 20 years. But theoretically, you could double the travel business part of Disney by getting into lots of different areas of travel. Like ABD is not going to scale because it's very high-end stuff. Cruise lines are going to work great, and they'll keep doing really well, but still, that's only a small fraction of the travel market. What I think you need to do is try to start getting revenue and start getting to closer and closer to where people actually search for travel. You know, you don't need to do crazy stuff like Facebook and Google are doing. They're like building their own operating systems and stuff. But get into the travel search space somehow, and Hipmunk might be a decent way to start, because they're really high quality. It's a really high quality product. It's really useful, and Disney is great at marketing stuff, so they can send, you know, millions of users towards it and just get, you know, inside the heads of people. Like, why don't I go to Disney.com or some other Disney travel search to book any trip? Wonder if they could position themselves there. That's my thought.
I love Hipmunk. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's an easy one because we mentioned it earlier, but I increasingly use it. So, Scott, next one.
All right. Mine's kind of out there.
I love it.
It's not a company. It's a person. So
that's cool too.
You know, I think
is it Lou Mangiello?
It is not Lou Mangiello. Sorry. Okay. No, but you know, as we know, I mean, what comes out of Disney for our entertainment and whatnot, you know, has a lot to do with the people behind it. So I was searching around different technology, and one of the emerging technologies that I absolutely love and can really see in the next 5 to 10 years playing a big part in the theme parks is, you know, gesture recognition applications. You know, we've been talking about that a little bit here and there in the last few episodes with Lightbeam and things like that, where motion beam. Thank you. So basically, you know, Minority Report type stuff. You know, you could be in a giant room with screens, and you know, based on your movements and whatnot, it tracks you. So there's
You're
a guy at MIT
needs to acquire Tom Cruise.
I'm saying they need no.
Sorry.
Put him in a ride somewhere. no, there's a gentleman. There's a gentleman at MIT Labs who's his name is Jamie Zigglebaum, and he's a PhD student, and he sort of fits that profile from what I can read. He basically researches and deals with social implications of physical interface media, frameworks for next generation interfaces, and tangible interfaces for abstract digital information. His big genre of choice, basically what he loves to do, is figure out how to do gesture recognition and gesture psychology around film, around entertainment, and around areas of you know, feeling. And to me, that sounds like just like the perfect fit for an Imagineer and someone to come in and take technology and put it to story and make it all kind of fit together. And I don't know. I found this guy. I thought it was really cool. He's got a bunch of videos on YouTube showing off some different things. And yeah, check him out.
That's awesome. And he's only a PhD student.
That's it. Yeah.
The PhD students are cheap. They only make like $25K a year.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, they hope to make more afterwards, but really cool. Yeah, definitely send the link over. We'll definitely check it out and link to it in the show notes. And by
I will.
When I say
sort
I
of on top of that,
I'll forget about it, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Jeff, you're up.
Okay, I'm just getting ready to type this in. That was mine!
Really?
Yes.
That exact one?
Yes.
The obscure one from left field, a PhD student out of somewhere?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Great minds think alike. Or plagiarize.
I did some of, no, I did like some of the...
Awesome.
I took some of his stuff and have done it.
Wow.
So early on, he did a thing on... using a Wii remote, to capture, and you know, the IR sensor stuff to capture some stuff, and I actually duplicated that at the small company that I worked at.
Wow.
He talked about using a Wii remote, and he had gloves that he had put IR emitters on to do some gesture stuff. And I used the same idea, hooked up a Wii remote and created a IR emitter out of one of the like chunky highlighter things. I bought the components, the LED battery, the wiring, soldered it all inside of a Sharpie marker. So instead of Sharpie, you had this little LED light, and then you could use a virtual whiteboard in our center at work, and it would pick all those movements up.
Wow, very cool.
Anyway,
kind of like what we talked about with Johnny Lee the last week.
Yeah, he did it too. This guy did it.
Right.
Johnny Lee's awesome too. He would be obviously a great addition, but yeah, that's really weird. I'm going to do a little research, and I'll have one for the next round. I only had two. Sorry.
No, it's all good, dude. And if Scott didn't steal all of our ideas, it would be better.
Yeah, you know.
Whoops.
Scott's smarter than me. I'll live with that.
Cool. All right, Katie, you're up.
Dude, I have to go after that. Like, what? So we talked about this a bunch before, and I think we might have done a whole episode on these type of apps, but I'm not sure because this was a while ago. But question and answer apps like Quora and Aardvark, but I want to see Disney purchase one and use it with the Moms Panel. Like, I think the way they handle it now is good. Like, these people are just, like, asking real questions, getting real answers. But it's kind of, I don't know, I just want to see it easier. Like, these apps are really easy to handle and just really good user interfaces versus these, like, kind of, I pick a question and answer it sometimes. I just feel like it could be really useful in planning, especially with the Moms Panel. I don't think that Disney could purchase it and have anyone, question and answer, because I think it would get answers that Disney may have not approved of, but Disney hired these Moms Panel people for a reason. And I think this is a great way to share their knowledge.
Well, so let's push that a little bit further. I mean, like Q&A, travel focused Q&A could be pretty big. I mean, these companies are trying to go after, all Q&A, and Aardvark's already acquired by Google, and Quora has a ridiculous valuation because they think they're going to index. I mean, the hope is that they index like all questions and answers ever put on the planet. You know what I mean? But I mean, those companies are kind of specific, but I mean, I could totally see Disney buying a smaller Q&A site and having it mostly Disney focused, but they could potentially capture a ton of travel related content. You know what I mean? I mean, Disney doesn't do much in terms of social community. So I think you're right that they would have this weird issue between, letting users say things versus, them wanting official information. But they're making some strides. I mean, they allow comments on the Disney Parks blog, and they do hire Moms panelists who aren't officially Disney employees. They're contractors, and they don't even get paid.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, does the Moms panel predate, like, Quora and Aardvark?
No. I think the Moms panel is only a couple years old. Three?
Yeah,
it's like not right.
I think it started in
before Quora.
It was like 2008 when they were like advertising for it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So. I just wondered because I never heard of anything like that, but I wasn't like in the tech space to know about Q&A technologies back then. It just seemed really innovative when they started it, in that they were just, crowdsourcing information. It's kind of like what Microsoft started to do with Bing lately with Facebook, where basically your results are ranked based upon your friends can like them or not. That's another way to add a little more social to your searches. Right. Not that I ever use Bing, but
you don't use Bing? Missing out.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. I don't use Bing. Yeah, no, I've always really wanted to do a Disney-specific travel Q&A site. I think it'd be so much fun.
What?
Do it.
Do it, Henry. Next project.
Yeah. Star Wars Live's done. Come on, let's do it.
Aren't you bored?
I've got nothing to do. It's awesome. All right. Good stuff, right. Katie. Nate, you're up.
All right. So I couldn't find a company that fits with this, but maybe they could do it on their own. But I'd love it if Disney started a large-scale light performance company. I think a whole lot more can be done to enhance the nighttime experience at many of its parks. And so I started to search through some things that I actually started to look through some European parks because I wanted to see if they were any different in their light time experience. And I didn't find any parks, but I did find a site where they actually have a light festival, and it's in Lyon, France. And if you look through some of the pictures here on the site that I just added to the chat, and we'll put it in the show notes, I guess. There's a region of France
that has anything in show notes.
You're right. I'm sorry. You'll just have to find it by Googling, or Binging. Sorry. In Lyon, France, there's a study for an urban energy efficiency lighting system that would highlight the city's artistic features and historic architectures, urban landscapes, and public spaces. And so if they could find out some way to add some more creative lighting, I know Disney does a really good job of lighting right now. I mean, the new lights that they added a few years ago on the Haunted Mansion are just awesome. But I'm just thinking about like in the open spaces, like the lighting in the area of the Interventions Plaza is pretty cool, but it was really cool in like 1994 when they added it with like the embedded LED lights in the concrete and then some of the lighting around there. But if they came up with like, I mean, that was 16 years ago. So if they come up with, you know, look at what's even better right now in enhancing light with music and enhancing light with different layers and levels of light, that would just be awesome. And they can play with it and, you know, create new projection with it. I just think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that it would be really cool. The pictures look really awesome.
Yeah, that's from a light festival, like I said, in Lyon, and it was just a study that they did, and it was actually from 2010, so it's not as current as I wish it would be, but pretty cool.
Some of these, like if they put that in Tomorrowland, it'd be crazy.
And I think that was the original idea with Tomorrowland in 1994, was that they would add all of these new LED lights. That was new at the time, and they started to do that last year. I think they did a little bit of a test of the Tomorrowland Transit Authority with some lights, lighting effects on the track. But I think it was just a test because I don't think they continued it.
Right. No, that's awesome. I never thought about that. The lighting. I mean, they have lots of really cool lighting. But you know, I'm sure there's crazy stuff. I don't think they've had as crazy lighting over the past like 20 years. I don't think that's advanced very much.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they did add some really cool, maybe like some cleaner lighting to the Haunted Mansion, and they also added new lighting to the to Fantasmic at Disneyland a couple years back. When they changed out some of the projectors and some of the lighting. Right. And World of Color has really awesome lighting, so I guess that would be like the newest example.
True. That yeah.
But that is I'd like to see not incorporated into a show. I'd rather see it like in spaces where you are just hanging out, just to add to your overall experience. Not that you would have, you know, strobe lights everywhere, but you know, just some cool added lighting. They, you know, think about like what they added with like Glowfest. You know, if they could add stuff that was, you know, themed to the area you were in. That'd be cool. Right.
Awesome. Okay, so my next one is, it's not a specific company, but basically I think you could make a bunch of, you know, there's so many hot, really hot app companies, and they bought Tabulous, which is going after a really huge gaming space. But the theme park app space is pretty small, right? I mean, like, there's us, Touring Plans, and there's a bunch of other small app developers, but we're all really tiny in the grand scheme of things. So I think they could do a small number of app acquisitions specifically to build theme apps for the theme parks. And I know they already have a big team probably working on it for Next Gen. If you go back to our episode where we talked about the Next Gen stuff in Epcot, they, you know, created an Android app for that did a bunch of things. So it's possible they could build this all internally. but you know, potentially they could roll, they could pursue a roll-up strategy, right? So, you know, Disney apps seem to rise to the top of the App Store really easily anyway, but you know, the one of the big things that they'll have to do once they do create a next gen app or whatever is to make sure that it stands out in the App Store and that they don't have any, you know, that they're not competing with my app or other people's apps. So they could buy a bunch of Disney apps like our app, which they should buy now until, you know, because eventually touringplace.com is going to acquire Disney. So it's like a, it's a good long-term investment. Yeah. And then like I really like the Greg Miletic's app, Wishing Stars. That I thought that was still like, it's way down the App Store rankings for some reason, but like it's just hard, it's sometimes hard to find. But you know, I think that was, it's really cool concept for something that could come later. The Versa Edge dudes create a number of apps for the App Store. Mouse Addict is an app that I like a lot for Disneyland. So yeah, that's sort of my idea. No specific company other than us, but Disney, you could create a bunch of really high quality theme park specific apps that'll support, they could even draw revenue out of, but at least support people's touring of the theme parks and experience of the theme parks and booking trips, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, focus on, take the, you know, they have these huge parks and resort division, no App Store presence right now on iOS or Android. So we know it's coming. The question is whether they're going to do acquisitions to make that happen. All right, Scott. Scott's out.
I'm pretty much out. Yeah, I mean, some of the things that I found really just kind of they pertain around my interests, which are really you know, kid entertainment games, things like that. And you know, you go back, you talk about the Tapulous and stuff and the Playdom. It worries me because those acquisitions haven't really panned out for them. So you start
Let's not say that yet. I mean,
well, if you look
Playdom
at it,
they're still might be is probably making like hundreds of millions of dollars a quarter right now.
In general, though, the media group is losing money. The group that purchased these guys, really? Playdom, Club Penguin, Tapulous, you know, they are losing money. They lost, I think, $100 million plus last year.
Wow. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're laying off a lot of people. Club Penguin has been coming in short since their acquisition.
I don't think they hit their earnout. Their acquisition price is like $3 to $50 million with like another $350 million based on earnout, meaning depending on if they hit certain revenue targets, they would give the company that they bought like more money, the people specifically the people. So yeah.
So anyway, that worries me.
Was there any specific technology that they acquired when they made that acquisition that could make it a better investment long term?
Which one?
Any of the ones that they're losing?
I know they had significant investments in metrics. Like they, you know, and that's how social gaming companies thrive. It's like it's a huge iterative process, and they constantly measure the interactions because they have so many of them. They have, you know, tens of millions of people using the site every day. And so they can really fine tune, you know, how do I get, you know, a 1% increase or a 0.1% increase, you know, of people buying gold in some game, right? Can, you know, mean like six figures in money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I know that was mentioned in the Playdom acquisition. I don't know. I think they're probably too young to have a lot of patents or something.
Okay. Well, I mean, was it the hope that it would like turn into a Zynga or something like that? Where,
well, I think Playdom is still pretty competitive. I mean, you hear Zynga way more, but I think Playdom is still huge and growing. I could be wrong. We should do an episode where we look at that.
Sure.
Playdom's interesting. And Tapulous. I don't know what Tapulous is working on. I don't know if they're pumping out more games or...
I couldn't believe that when I read that, though. But I mean, I'm not someone who buys this kind of apps, so maybe I was like,
I mean, you know. It's App Store fever, man. Everyone needs to get in there, and if you're a big company and you can't do it, you don't feel like you could do it internally, you got to buy someone and then just like ride the wave. I mean, I think that I don't even think that was that big of an acquisition. I mean, I think it was, well, in terms of like crazy tech acquisitions, I think it was like less than $50 million. I could be wrong.
I mean, it just reminds me of like, you know, late 90s huge acquisitions like, you know, broadcast.com or something like that, you know.
Mark Cuban.
Exactly. $5.7 billion.
Mavericks won the finals.
Hey.
Thank you, Yahoo, for
That's right. Everyone in Dallas should thank Yahoo right now. So, yeah. But they don't have Donald Sterling at the helm. Go ahead.
All right. So, Jeff, you have another one?
I do. I would like for them to acquire Infinitech.
Okay. What is that?
Infinitech is a German company that basically created the 3D projectors and glasses that's used in the Spider-Man and the Forbidden Journeys rides.
Nice.
They are better than anything I've seen anywhere ever. I just think that, in my opinion, still Spider-Man is my favorite ride of any ride anywhere. And
they're doing a refurb right now, aren't they?
They are. And they're also, the rumor too is that they're going to be building another ride at Universal that's going to be a Transformers ride that's similar.
I heard that's like game changing.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So anyway, Infinitech is the company that basically created the projection system and the glasses. They continue to be on the bleeding edge of that. They were actually created for Daimler Chrysler, which is interesting, to basically be able to do 3D modeling and stuff in their car manufacturing. But, you know, they sold this off for use at that Spider-Man attraction. And I'm sure it's not very likely, you know, again, you know, the competitors are using them, but I think that Disney, I don't know that I ever want Disney to be playing catch up. And obviously Toy Story Midway Mania is very popular, but I don't think that they've done as good a job as what I have seen in Spider-Man of integrating ride vehicles with a 3D experience. So they have the ride vehicle. The dinosaur ride vehicle would be perfect to integrate with this same type of, you know, 3D pictures. And the experience that you get at the Spider-Man ride, I don't think Disney has come anywhere close to duplicating that. Again, I don't know that I necessarily want them to steal that idea, but boy, I would sure like to see them make some headway in that direction.
Nice. Good stuff. I never even heard of that. I've heard of the Spider-Man, but that's good stuff. All right, Katie, last one.
Okay, I don't really have like a solid one, but I was just thinking as I was here playing with my phone, kind of looking at my apps, and it sparked something which may even be already in production, but whatever. I downloaded this app called Whiff, and basically it's like this photo app. So it's just used basically on Twitter. So if you're with people in the room, you just take pictures and you tag so you can see you're with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
so
built
cool.
By the Path guys.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't use it too much, and I don't think it's getting, like, crazy usage right now, but I really got to thinking, I wish Disney had some sort of way within PhotoPass, and I haven't used PhotoPass in forever, but maybe they do this already, but I wish that if I had a group of people or a group of friends, like, we just travel in groups down there, that it would just tag, somehow, like, it would just be associated with my group. Does that make sense? Like, I'm with this group, or these these people, these like recognized faces in my group, and that so if they have PhotoPass card and they get pictures in Animal Kingdom, I wish it was on my account too. Like if I went in online or whatever on my phone and I saw everyone else's pictures, I saw what they were up to that day. Does that make sense? Like I know it sounds really simple, but families sometimes kind of separate and stuff, you know, 80 PhotoPass cards. I don't know. I just think the PhotoPass technology could be taken to like a whole nother level, like on your phone, download it on your phone, like all these tagging of people so you could keep up to date. I think they could really make a good usage out of it, and they don't take it to that level that they should. So
right. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's kind of interesting because Path is like Disney ever wants to get in the social networking space, Path might not be a terrible acquisition. They've raised a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They are one of the sort of potential, like, not winners, competitors for the mobile social networking space. You know, they're in this interesting space where they're not like a real social network like Facebook or whatever. They're trying to be a social network for your closest 50 friends, right?
Right.
So emphasis on not sharing things really broadly, not broadcasting things.
Right.
It's hard because that's how you grow, like – you know, Twitter group.
But it is a cool idea.
Join Twitter, and they broadcasted the crap out of themselves, which helped broadcast the crap out of Twitter.
Mm-hmm. But it is a really cool idea because, for example, absolutely. I mean, I share a ton of pictures of Campbell. Maybe I don't want the world to see, just the family and friends. You know, you don't want everyone in the world to see your Disney pictures, just your family and friends. Everybody can be associated. I don't know. I just really think they could do a ton with PhotoPass. I think we write it off too easy. Could be really
Disney
cool.
is – that's actually a really good point. Like, Path is all about safety and, like, and sort of, like, privacy. You know what I mean? Like, people are going to share a lot of stuff in the digital world, but not everyone's a broadcaster. You know what I mean? Not everyone's, like, Katie Letosky or whatever. So, but Disney has always been known to be a company you can trust – that trust, you know, like has personal relationships and like isn't, I don't know, that actually kind of, that is kind of interesting. Like I could see Path at a company more than like, I don't know, some like Facebook or Twitter.
Right. I totally agree. I don't know. Yeah, just thought.
Cool. All right, Nate, you got a third one?
I tried to find one about, I couldn't find the company who makes this, but it's Audioscopic 3D Glasses and what it, or Audioscopic 3D Technology. And the only company I could find that is developing this is a company called TTE. And they're basically developing 3D technologies that don't require you to wear glasses.
Yeah.
But it's way down the line and it might not work. So, I mean, I spent a long time looking for this, but I couldn't find.
Well, there seems to be any... a big. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say there's just not a whole lot of information out there other than why can't we get 3D technology without glasses?
Right. There seems to be a huge horse race in the movie 3D market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones that require glasses. Like there are a bunch of standards and they're all like in this super horse race to see who's going to win. You know what I mean?
But, yes.
I don't know if any of them are working seriously on the non-glasses stuff.
But this seems like that would be a much better fit for a theme park,
right.
In that you could create an environment with 3D without the constrictions of people that can't see in stereo where they 3D glasses don't work. Because it's not a large group in our population, but there is some people that can't use 3D glasses and they just don't work for them because their eyes don't work in stereo like the rest of us. And if this were to work, then it would help those people out. And also it would lift the, you know, thing of always having to have 3D. And then as 3D technology gets better and better, the glasses that you get are going to have to become more and more expensive. And if they were to come out with this audio stereoscopic technology, and like I said, I only found one company and it's called TTE, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of TCL Media Technology Holdings Limited, according to one website here. Maybe I don't want to give the name of it because I've never heard of it before, but that would be my third one, even though I don't know if it will ever exist.
Awesome. And very related to Jeff's as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually I was like, whoa, that's weird.
Pipe.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So my last one is interaction firms. So a lot of big, you know, companies are doing these things called talent acquisitions, particularly like Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, where they'll buy companies that are really good at potentially interaction design, or even like Rails consultancies, meaning people who build software for a living, and there are these little consulting firms, and they go build apps for other clients. Big companies are absorbing these clients to jumpstart certain projects within their company and, you know, getting them because they're all purpose kind of guys to come build new products for them, even if they have nothing to do with what they've been building normally. I kind of like that idea. And I think there are some really awesome, like you think about Disney buying all these things. Like I just saw Pixar just bought this like claymation studio and, you know, they bought Pixar, they bought Marvel. They're very comfortable right now buying creative people. And that seems weird because you think Disney is the most creative, one of the most creative companies. Why do they need to keep acquiring creativity, like creative firms? But I think they've done that for sure in the gaming industry and the movie industry, whatever. I don't know about the TV industry, but presumably as well. Maybe they need to start buying like high quality internet design people and creative people, because I kind of feel like, you know, that would be a good pitch. Like you might be able to get some interaction firms on board. Two interaction firms I really like. One is MetaLab. Two is SimpleBits. SimpleBits, I think it's just a couple people, mainly just this one guy, Dan Cederholm. But I'm not really up to date on the super graphics interaction world, but I know there's a lot of really awesome artists out there. I think they're, you know, some of the best graphics designers are really busy, but, you know, it always seems like there's a starving web designer culture out there. I'm sure a lot of which is really talented. So, and that leads me in really quickly to also, I think, you know, one thing that they're promising in next gen is these interfaces so that you can help, you could plan your trip better from home. And I think that's going to require really killer interaction teams as well as product people who can actually code this stuff. So yeah, I think like if Disney really wants to, you know, be at the forefront of their travel planning stuff, but then potentially even expand beyond Disney travel planning stuff, you know, they should go out and buy up some really good interaction firms and inject new creativity from the internet, the crazy internet people, into the company. All right. So really quickly, Scott, do you have any last crazy ideas? Rapid fire.
No, just whatever they acquire, make sure it's good, man. I mean, I'd like to see them acquire some technologies for the theme parks. I think they've really focused on consumer products, as far as like in the home, i.e. game development studios and things like that. So I'd really like to see them, you know, just look at, theme park technology.
Right. Jeff.
You know, I think, you know, new technology in the theme parks, I guess one thing I would like for them to do is bring a little bit more of the overall design of the rides, the ride systems and everything back into the Disney company. It doesn't seem like they've built their own ride for a very long time. I'd like to see them get some of that intelligence, some of that engineering, some of those other people into the Disney company again, rather than outsourcing everything.
Good stuff. Katie?
I don't know. I'm kind of out of ideas. The more things I can think of is all that photo pass, pictures of the parks, more ride photos, easier access to ride photos. I don't know. It's more awesome stuff like that.
Nate?
Better biometric finger readers.
Yes.
Nice.
I want to be able to like rent my locker with my finger. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go back to my locker
or whatever.
Put my finger up there. Deviceless.
Right, like deviceless access to like everything, right?
Sure, yes.
Gotcha. Two random crazy ideas. One, they could buy up all the travel agencies in the Disney community, and just have all their travel agencies run in-house, because I think Disney should be in the business of helping people plan their trips. At some level. And the second thing was maybe try to do something so that the Disney store is sort of up there in terms of the technology that you need to, you know, really sell products. And I think that could come a long way, because obviously they make huge investments in retail. I'm not sure if they're making the same type of capital investments in selling stuff online. And I think that's obviously where shopping is going these days. So that could be good growth opportunities for them. All right, so that's been episode 74 of Podcast Betamouse. We'd like to thank our sponsor for this and nearly every episode of the show so far, touringplans.com. Go check out a feature of the site after you listen to this episode. For example, we have a useful ticket calculator that aggregates all the prices of the third-party ticket vendors on the net and helps you get the best deal possible. That's a good and a free feature. And for now, for the insertion of the mandatory call to action fun, go like us on facebook.com/betamouse or follow us on twitter.com/betamouse. We'd really appreciate it. And if you're up for a real challenge, go give us a review on iTunes. I dare you. You're also more than welcome to email the show at show@betamouse.net or us individually at ourfirstnames@betamouse.net. We love hearing from you. So from Scott, Jeff, Jeff is here. Sorry, for some reason I thought you weren't going to be here this episode. So from Scott, Jeff, Katie, Nate, and myself, thanks for listening.
Jeff, you're muted. Jeff is quiet.
Jeff is now unmuted. I hate the Skype. God, it sucks. Anyway, so
that is pretty legit.
Brilliant.
Is it too legit to quit?
Yo, oh, yeah. What's up, G? Jay?
Is there a phone call going in the background?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my phone to quit thinking that you're calling me on Skype.
You got to log out, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
See, Microsoft's already screwed it up.
Out. Sorry, Katie, I'll get out.
Riley, get out.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm signed out of Skype and it's still ringing. That's, you know, always helpful.
It's a demon, man.
It's like,
that's hilarious.
So now I got to go to these are Android problems. This is a downside, right? I got to go to the process thing and kill it. Force stop. Yes. Hey, there we go. Okie dokie. There we have it.